You're listening to a For the Girls podcast Flashback Friday episode. Every Friday, I reshare an older episode for new listeners who haven't heard it, or as a refresher for OG listeners who might need to hear it again as a reminder. Enjoy, and I'll see you with a new episode on Monday.
Settling is not an option for me. Everything I desire is already mine. What if you can have it all? Because every day is for the girls.
Hello, hello. Welcome back to another episode of For the Girls. I'm your host, Victoria Alario. And today we're talking about everyone's favorite saying, if he wanted to, he would. But we're going to switch it up and ask the question, what would change? What would happen? What would you do if you put that level of accountability on yourself? If you did things because you wanted to. If you wanted to, you would. And I was actually originally thinking about this, not even in a romantic way, because when I was coming up with the episode for today, I wanted to go the route of like business and like getting shit done. And I think a really common thread these days, at least I'm seeing it all over like my For You page, my social media, is that people want to become content creators, people want to become influencers, and everyone like wants to do these things, but nobody does what it takes to do it. And so originally that was my mindset, which we'll talk about, you know, all the above, romantic, professional, whatever. That was my original mindset, was just like, well, if you want to do it, then you should do it. Why wouldn't you do it? It's like that saying, if he wanted to, he would. So if you wanted to, you would. So if you want to, why don't you? Why won't you? Why are you refusing to? Why are you letting all of your fears get in the way? And so through just like reflecting and thinking about this topic in general, I started realizing that it can go romantically as well. It can go as far as, you know, dating. Like, so many people play women, you know, a lot of girls, I should say. Sorry, girls, I'm going to call you all out here. So many girls play games and they don't want to be the one to like text first, or like they don't want him to think that like she's doing too much or that she likes him. And it's just like, why? We all say if he wanted to, he would. But why is there no level of accountability on us? And I, for one, would never advocate for women pursuing men. So like, this is not that. I'm not saying to be desperate. I'm not saying to chase him. You girls know me. If you're a new listener and you don't know me, please go through the episodes, do your due diligence and your research on me, because I am so not here for girls chasing guys, pursuing guys. I believe way more traditionally, you know, in dating, that men are initiators and women are reciprocators. It's like they do and then like you give back. However, I am not here for games. I am not here for women dating with an immature mindset of like, I can't text him first. Like, let me be the one to say, I would text my now fiance back before we were even together if I wanted to. Now, I didn't initiate any of those beginning things. Like, okay, of course, before we even met, he was initiating those conversations, the plans leading up to, you know, meeting, going on our first date. And then as time went on, I had no problem with reaching out to him, calling him or texting him. Like, I would say that there was, I can't say an equal, because for the most part, he always would text me like in the morning and he wakes up earlier than me. So it was like that time when you're like just getting to start talking to someone and you're like waking up to those texts from them, which is great, but it didn't happen all the time. And so when it didn't happen, I would text him. If I had something to tell him, I would text him. If I was the one who answered last, say that we were in the middle of a conversation and I was the one who answered last and he didn't reply, and then I like saw something on Instagram that reminded me of him, or like just like something came to my mind that I wanted to tell him, like I would text him. And if that was a means of double texting, then like, so be it. You know what I mean? In those beginning stages, okay, fine. That's different. But then once I was like comfortable, I was never afraid to wear my heart on my sleeve. Like I never hid my feelings. I didn't like play hard to get. I just was like comfortable. Like, it's different when you're in that first date, maybe second date stage. But once you're past that, I feel like people end up in these cycles of like situationships and toxic relationships or whatever because of these defense mechanisms, because of these fears. They won't wear their heart on their sleeve. They think that playing hard to get is like the way to go. You know, they don't want that person to know that they actually like them. So they want to play these games, make things a little bit more difficult, make things a little bit more complicated. Like I just said, I would double text him, you know, like if I didn't hear from him and I wanted to text him again, I would. Whereas other people are like, oh, he didn't answer me for 3 hours. So now when he texts me, I'm not going to reply. I'm going to text him back the next day. I'll wait 4 hours because he waited 3 hours. And it's just silly because it's like, okay, maybe they were busy during that time period. And here you are, not busy, on your phone, just trying to like play this game. Like, it's immature and it oozes insecurity. Like, there's nothing confident or sexy about it. It's just like, it's exhausting. Those are the things that make dating exhausting and make dating hard and make dating not fun. Dating should be fun. It should be lighthearted. You should be excited. And so the more that you do those things, the less exciting it is, the less excited that you feel, the less you have to look forward to. And this shield, like I said, it's a defense mechanism. It's nothing more than a means of protecting yourself from getting hurt. Or like I said, even like in business and professional life, doing the content, it's a means of protecting yourself from failure, from embarrassment, from opinions, from others. And like, you're essentially, like I said, it's a shield. You're essentially wearing your fears. You're wearing your fears like they are a badge of honor. Think about like the Tin Man from, I don't know why that just came up for me. From The Wizard of Oz, maybe because I just watched Wicked, but like the Tin Man, you know, hard shell. I think the whole spiel of the Tin Man was like there was no heart or something like that, like just like stone cold, you know what I mean? And it looked essentially like wearing armor, like, you know, a knight in shining armor looks like that. That's how you wear your fears. You make yourself stone cold, you shut off any feelings or emotions, and it's just a matter of like, nobody could hurt me. Nobody could get in here. Nobody could have opinions and judgment and talk shit about me. I can't embarrass myself in front of people. He'll never know that I like him. All these different things, these limiting beliefs and fears that you have, are legitimately covering you up from feeling your feelings, feeling your emotions, living out the things that you want to live out. What's that? Wait. What is this song lyric? Hold on. I just saw this. I feel like it was a TikTok with a song playing and she had the words written on the screen and I can't remember what song it was playing, but I think the lyric was like, I'd rather feel everything than feel nothing. Hold on. What is that from? Oh yeah. Okay. I just looked it up. I think that this is a new Ariana Grande song, Hampstead. And those are the lyrics. Yeah, I would rather feel everything than nothing every time. And that's essentially what I'm saying. Like, living your life, feeling things, not being afraid to feel things, not being afraid to express yourself instead of closing yourself off time and time and time again because of these fears, because of that inner voice telling you you're doing too much, that's embarrassing, you don't want them to know how you feel. Like, these games are not cute anymore. These games have gotten you nowhere in life. It is a huge scarcity mindset. And so that's why you're not having abundant results, whether it's success, you know, in your career, whether it's success in love and dating and relationships. This is why, like I said, cycles continue over and over, situationships, toxic relationships, because this scarcity mindset is keeping you stuck. It's keeping you there. It's keeping you in this immature place of playing these games out of fear. And so I feel like we are not entitled to have the mindset of if he wanted to, he would, if you would not hold yourself accountable in that same way, if you would not take that same level of accountability and responsibility in your life for your actions, for your feelings, for your emotions, for the way that you make other people feel, for the things that you do or don't do. Because if you want to, then why wouldn't you? Think about what you have to lose and what you have to gain from doing the thing that you want to do, whatever it is, whatever it looks like. For starters, what do you have to lose? Because quite frankly, I don't think that it's anything. You can't possibly lose anything that's meant for you. So you can't lose the guy that you're meant to be with. You can't lose the guy that's, you know, for you, because if he's for you, he will be for you. No ifs, ands, or buts. You can't lose the career that's meant for you. If you're trying, you know, you want to be an influencer, you want to be a content creator, you want to like get your stuff out there, you want to, even if it's not necessarily being an influencer, say you have a small business that you want to promote, you're a coach, you have a product, you have a service, you have anything that you're trying to build up a clientele, you're trying to build up sales, and you're trying to get it out there. What do you have to lose by putting it out there? You can't lose sales that you're not getting, right? Like if you already don't have sales, you already don't have clients, the only thing you can do or get from posting is what you can gain. You can't lose anything that you don't already have. So all that will happen is either nothing, which is like, okay, whatever, you end up exactly where you are in the first place, or you gain something. You gain the clientele, you gain the customers, whatever the desired result is. So when it comes down to what you have to lose, you essentially have nothing to lose because you can't possibly lose anything that doesn't already belong to you. And when it comes down to what you can gain everything. You can get everything that you ever wanted. So let's now weigh these two things on a scale. There's something you want to do, but you're not going for it, right? You have a million fears and all that. What's the absolute worst thing that can happen? The worst possible case scenario. Write it down. Journal about it. Put it out there right now. What is the absolute worst thing that can happen as a result? Okay? Hold that. Then on this end, what is the absolute best case scenario? What is the best thing that can happen as a result? What do you have to gain? How much can your life change as a result of, you know, potentially doing this thing? Again, write that down, journal about it, have it out there, and hold that. Now, look at these two things and determine which one holds more value in your life. Which one is more important? Which one will get you further? Which one will make you happier? Which one makes more sense for the life that you are trying to lead? The best possible case scenario or the worst possible case scenario? And the answer to that question should be able to solve your problem right there. I haven't been doing this thing because I didn't really weigh out and see my two options and, you know, determine what one will actually change my life for the better. So now that I see that the worst case scenario really holds no weight, holds no value in my life, is going to get me absolutely nowhere, then I do really want to do this thing and I do see the value in it. So I am going to go for it. And that could be with anything. It could be with romantic relationships. It could be with friendships. It could be with your job. What's the dream that you have? What are you looking to achieve? What are you looking to get out of this? And now, if it's something that you want that bad, why aren't you going for it? Why wouldn't you do it? To me, the answer is as simple as you don't actually want it that bad. You don't actually care about it as much as you are saying that you do. You might talk the talk, but you are not walking the walk. And there is a big difference there between what you say you want to do and then what you actually do. And that right there frustrates a lot of women in dating, especially when like guys tell them, I want to take you here. I want to take you there. I want to do this. I want to spend time with you. Like they tell them that they're going to make these plans with them and then they don't do it. So what do? You get frustrated. Well, he said he was going to take me out next week. He said we were going to do X, Y, and Z. And now I haven't heard from him. He told me he wanted to take me to that restaurant and now we haven't gone. If he wanted to, he would. If he wanted to, he would. And they just say that over and over. He said he was going to do this. His words said that, but his actions say otherwise. And now he's not doing the thing that he said he was going to do. So that just means he doesn't want to do it. Because if he wanted to, he would. Okay, fine. Fair. You're not wrong. You're not invalid. All of those feelings are valid. The frustration is valid. But why don't you get that frustrated with yourself? Why don't you call yourself out on your own BS too and say, you know, I also liked him and I also wanted to talk to him, but I didn't reach out to him. I didn't contact him. Why? You wanted to, so why not? And also, when it comes to your goals and not going after them and having all these fears, what it really often translates into is just like excuses. And then the other thing too, when it comes to your goals and the things that you claim that you want for yourself, that you want to go after, but the things that you don't actually do, sometimes those fears don't present themselves as conscious fears. Like, you might not be fully aware that you are acting this way because of a fear. How it might actually translate is just through excuses. And so the underlying, like the subconscious thing there is that it's a fear, but what's coming to the surface and what's, you know, coming out, the words you're saying, the action that you're taking, it's actually presenting itself as just excuses. Oh, you know, I really want to do this thing, but I don't have the time. I don't have the energy. I have kids, so like, it's really hard. I don't have the resources. I don't know how to do it. I don't have anyone to help me. I don't have the knowledge on that. I don't have the money to invest in that. So all these things are, you know, showing themselves as excuses. But what it really comes down to deep down is that, you know, when there's a will, there's a way. You know that if you really wanted to do said thing, you would make it happen. Everybody knows that. Like, at the end of the day, there really are no excuses. I always say everything after but is an excuse in a sentence, meaning I really want to, but XYZ. Everything after but is an excuse. And those excuses, like I said, like, they're coming as a result of fear. So first things first is that you have to do the work to figure out what those fears are, why they exist, and how you personally can overcome them. I think that, of course, my workbook that I just came out with would be perfect for this, because this is a huge thing. If you go on my website, victorialero.com, you'll see the workbook for the girls who desire more. And this is right on topic. This is for the girls who desire more. So if you want more and you're having these fears and excuses come about, that's a great way to do the inner work to, you know, get ahead of that and figure that out. But like I said, at the end of the day, no matter what those excuses or fears look like, sound like, whatever they are, we all know that if we wanted to, we would. And if we really wanted it bad enough, absolutely nothing would stop us. Nothing would get in our way. We would go to the ends of the earth to make it happen. Starting something new isn't just hard, it can be terrifying. So much work goes into this thing that you're not entirely sure will work out, and it could be scary to make that leap of faith. Trust me, I know. When I started this podcast, I wasn't even sure what I was doing. What if no one listens? What if I do something wrong? What if no one buys my products? All the questions that we're all asking. Now, I know that I was right in believing in myself and launching this podcast despite all the fears and hesitations. It also helps when you have a partner like Shopify on your side to help. Shopify is the commerce platform behind millions of businesses around the world and 10% of all e-commerce in the US, from household names like Skims and Rode to brands just getting started. You'll be asking yourself questions like, but what if people haven't heard about my brand? Well, Shopify helps you find your customers with easy-to-run email and social media campaigns. And questions like, what if I get stuck? Not to worry, Shopify is always around to share advice with their award-winning 24/7 customer support. So it's time to turn those what-ifs into with Shopify today. Sign up for your $1 per month trial today at shopify.com/forthegirls. Go to shopify.com/forthegirls. That's shopify.com/forthegirls. My bookworm girls are going to love this, especially if you're anything like me and you love when your reads get under your skin and you have no idea what's coming next and the suspense won't let you put the book down. That is definitely The Wedding Vow by Dandy Smith, and you need to get your hands on it immediately. It's a domestic suspense thriller where nothing is quite as it seems. It has everything you want in a suspense novel: secrets, lies, emotional damage, and the deeply unsettling feeling that somebody absolutely should not be trusted, and of course, an affair. This book is pretty much one that takes the whole shiny, romantic, my husband is my rock idea and just casually sets it on fire, because beneath all the picture-perfect appearances, The Wedding Vow is packed with tension, deception, and the kind of twists that make you stop and go, oh, wow, so everyone here is making terrible choices, which for me is, of course, ideal reading. Imagine realizing you don't know your husband at all, and the truth and shocking secrets are a lot more dangerous than you'd ever imagine. This book is full of that addictive thriller energy where you think you know what's going on, and then the author basically leans in and says, you really thought, huh? So if you like books by Geneva Rose or even Freida McFadden that keep you on the edge of your seat, then you are going to love this one. The Wedding Vow by Dandy Smith is available now wherever books are sold, so go grab your copy today.
And sometimes we feel like we don't have a choice, but the truth is we do. So like you might feel like, yeah, I don't have the time, I don't have the energy, I don't have the money, I don't have the resources, so it's out of my control. But that's not true. All of these things, what we get in life, what we get out of life, 99% of it is within our control. Of course, there's always external environmental factors and things that we have absolutely no control over, things that happen to us, health and all different things that I don't even want to get into because sometimes it gets a little too morbid, okay? But for the most part, relationships turning toxic, careers being completely stagnant, all of these things are within our control. Say that you work, you know, 9 to 5, and you also want to be a content creator. So you tell yourself, I don't have the time to create content because I'm at work all day. But then at night, when you get home, you're sitting and watching TV for hours. And it's like, you technically, you do have the time. It's just, that's a reflection of what you truly want, what your priorities are. And I'm not saying that it's wrong, because I am a big advocate for spending your time how you want, and like all of your free time doesn't necessarily mean that it is available time to just do things. Like just because you're free doesn't mean that you're available to work on something or to spend time with someone. Like sometimes you just want to spend your free time decompressing, relaxing, doing your own thing, shutting your brain off. We don't always want to be productive at all times. So I'm not even sitting here saying like, be a drill sergeant and like go to work 9 to 5 and then come home and you're 5 to 9 should be creating batches of content. No, but like you could throw a TikTok or two in there. You know what I mean? Like if you're sitting and watching 45 minute episodes, hour long episodes, say 2 or 3 in a row, maybe you could watch one that night and then spend the other hour, you know, creating the content. It's just a matter of what you really want and how bad you really want it and how much of a priority it actually is. So when you are making these choices, saying, yeah, I don't have time to go to the gym, but then you're spending that time doing, you know, other things, that is a reflection of what you actually want. So maybe at the end of the day, you don't actually want the things that you're saying that you want. You just want them because other people do. You know, sometimes we hear or see other people's results. You see the happy, healthy relationship. You see the fitness goals, the body goals, you know, the dream body, whatever, the people that are in the gym all the time or dieting. You see the people that are growing on social media and making money. And so it's just like that. It's more of like a feeling of that comparison of like you want it because you see somebody else having it, but not because you actually truly want it. Because I do think at the end of the day, if you wanted to, you would. So I don't know why we only put that level of responsibility on others, but not on ourselves. Because yes, the truth of the matter is desire drives action, and action cannot wait until the perfect time. It can't wait until the right time. There is no such thing as the right time. There is just the divine time. Everything happens exactly when it is supposed to, how it is supposed to, where it is supposed to. So even if circumstances don't make sense logistically, and you're like, you know, I have a million things going on right now, I couldn't have possibly started this business at a worse time. At the end of the day, nothing is going to get in your way from taking action on the thing that you really desire. So you're not going to let little things like convenience or perfect conditions in life be the reason why you start something. I always say, take messy action. You will start something in the middle of a mess if that's how bad you want it. All those little factors and excuses that we come up with, those are all just a means of procrastination. But I feel like you only procrastinate when you don't care enough, when these goals don't mean that much to you. Because when you are so excited about something and it's like you just feel it in your bones, you can't stop. Like, you just want to keep going. You want to keep going until you see the desired result. So that's another point where you should stop and reflect on, like, do I actually want this thing? Because if I did, then why would I be procrastinating so much? Why would I be putting it off so much? And that's when things become this never-ending cycle. It's like procrastination leading to, limiting beliefs, because now you're seeing a lack of results. That the lack of action is creating a lack of results. So you're not getting ahead. So your mindset is not improving. Your mindset is not getting any stronger. You're not seeing, you know, the positive results. You're not seeing your dreams come to fruition. So it's just more and more and more time is passing, feeling unfulfilled, feeling stuck, which is like the worst way to feel when you just feel stuck. You feel like this is wasted potential, or there's no potential there at all. You're feeling super unfulfilled. And one thing constantly leads to another, which then ends up leading to feelings of inadequacy, regret, feeling like it's too late. I can't go back and start this now. It's too late. It's oversaturated. It's not going to work now. I missed my time. I missed the mark. All of these things, again, these are excuses that we are telling ourselves, but the excuses are really just a mask. They're just a mask shielding us from admitting to our fears and to the bigger picture, which is these limiting beliefs that hold us back. Because it makes us feel like we're not good enough. We feel embarrassed. But the absolute best thing that we can do is call ourselves out. It's like totally stop in your tracks, call yourselves out, and realize your power. Realize you are the only person in your way. You are the only person holding yourself back. So what if you get rejected? So what if you go after that guy, you know, you start talking to that guy more, you start putting yourself out there more, and he's not into it. So what? Like, okay, then that's just not meant for you. But he's not holding you back. You are holding yourself back. Your own limiting beliefs are holding yourself back. Same thing with every other, you know, area that we talked about: work, business, fitness, anything. Who is in your way besides you? It's as if you're walking around with a mirror right in front of you and you're trying to like walk forward, but you keep bumping into this mirror. Like, at what point do you admit to yourself and own it to yourself that like you are right in your own way? You're just looking at yourself. No one else is stopping you. So now you own it, you take that accountability, and you ask yourself, if I really want this thing bad enough, and if I acted based on how much I desire this thing, what would I be doing right now? What would change right now? What habits would I start to incorporate into my life? And here's the thing, small little like bite-sized actionable steps, small little habits make very big changes in our lives. We don't have to overwhelm ourselves with a 12-step program of like, okay, you wanna, you know, I always see these videos on TikTok that's like, if you wanna grow on social media, you wanna build your following, here are the things that you need to be doing right now. Then they give you a whole list of like algorithm things and tips and tricks, and this is what you need to be doing. Half the time, they all contradict each other. I'll see people say, the best thing that you could do when you post a video is stay on TikTok. Like, post a video, stay on TikTok, engage with other people, like and comment and repost and like be active on TikTok as soon as you post. They're like, don't post and ghost. Other people say, as soon as you post, you have to close out the app. Don't like anything, don't comment anything, don't repost anything. Post a video and close out the app. And that's the best way to see growth. These people, it's overwhelming. It's all different things. It's so much information. It's an information overload that creates like a paralyzing, you know, manner. It makes people stop in their tracks because too much at once is overwhelming and you don't know where to begin. So I think creating very small habits and just doing what feels right for you, that's what's going to create bigger and better changes in your life. Let's say, for example, that it is, you know, the content creation. Say that you are trying to, you know, get yourself out there. Don't worry about the algorithm and the right time and whatnot. Post the videos that feel good. One a day. Skip an episode of a show instead and do one video, whatever it is, like, or create content around what you are genuinely doing. So you don't need to have to skip out on anything. Like right now I've been creating a day in my life videos. So I'm not stopping anything that I'm doing. I'm actually recording everything that I'm doing. I'm just making my life content. You know what I mean? Like, and it's like, whatever feels right, whatever feels good, you just start to take those small little habits, incorporate them every single day, and those will create big changes. But you have to be clear first on what you truly want, and you have to have your priorities aligned with that. You can't have these excuses and fears getting in your way so much to the point where you are now you're paralyzed, you're not taking action, you're doing everything else and telling yourself you don't have time to do this thing, whatever it is, you know? And then, yes, when it comes to the relationships and the dating, and maybe there's not like action steps that you should be taking, it's more of like mindset habits that you need to change, and like getting that voice out of the back of your head that tells you that's embarrassing, don't do that, don't reach out, don't show interest. Why not? Switch up your mindset to say, I am going to wear my heart on my sleeve, because the more vulnerable I am, yeah, the more likely I am to get hurt, because vulnerability allows opportunity and room for pain and heartbreak and all that. But the more likely I am to find something real, because vulnerability meets vulnerability. It's the games that meet games. Everything is your mirror. So what you put in is what you're going to get back, and so on and so forth. I just talked about this in the last episode. And so the moral of the story is like, the more that you start to build your confidence around wearing your heart on your sleeve, the easier dating is going to become. Actually opening up both of your hearts to a more meaningful relationship rather than these toxic situationships that just go and go and go in these cycles that you get nothing out of. So start small, get your priorities aligned, and be really, really, really honest with yourself. Get so honest. Ask yourself questions. What have I been putting off? Why haven't I started? Do I really want this? How bad do I want this? What's the worst case scenario? What's the best case scenario? If I acted, you know, out of my desires, because desire drives action, what would I be doing right now? How would my life change if I started doing the things that I say I want to do? What could I possibly get out of this that would make my life better? And why am I not acting on it? Why am I not going for it? I'm sorry if this is like too tough love, but a lot of my inner work and healing and maturing and growing really always came from just calling myself out and holding myself accountable, not sugarcoating things for myself, being real, being honest, digging deep and saying like, okay, like if this is what I want, then this is what needs to change. This is what these results require, this thing, like, you know, we're never going to just deserve everything that we want in life. A lot of the things that we want in life have to be earned. Yes, a lot of it also comes with just like what's meant to be will be at the right time. You know, the divine timing, very important, divine timing. And so sometimes there's nothing we could do about it and it's totally out of our control. But so much of what happens, you know, to us and for us is because we took matters into our own hands and we did the maturing and the growth that needed to be done and the healing that needed to be done first. And so one of the biggest aspects of that for me was just always, you know, I never, ever, ever would let myself play small. And even in dating, you girls know I was single for so long. Like I used to be so in my masculine. I used to be so immature and shielded and guarded and had, you know, all these walls up and all these defense mechanisms of like, let me just not rely on you. Let me just not even bother with you. Like I never wanted to like get hurt. I never wanted to have my time wasted. And like none of that ever got me anywhere. And it all worked out exactly when and how it was supposed to, because I spent the years doing the work that needed to be done. And then by the time that I did meet him, I was so prepared. And I was so, like, at that point, unafraid of, you know, being hurt. Because when you really feel something, you want to put yourself out there, wear your heart on your sleeve, and have the mindset of, like, I want to, so I will. If he wanted to, he would. If I wanted to, I would. And if you wanted to, you would. So that is all that we have for today. I highly recommend for those of you listening to get the workbook if you have not yet. It is linked in the show notes. It's on my website, victorialario.com. And get to work. Thank you, girls, so much for listening. Until next time, girls.